The Property Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hello and welcome to The Property Pod, South Africa's leading property investor podcast right here on MoneyWeb. It's also a vodcast now on MoneyWeb TV on our YouTube channel. The property sector broadly in the country is on the up despite water and municipal service delivery issues in some of our major metros. Now, on our latest podcast, we are chatting about the property sector more broadly with the editor and a property economist at Roda. He's the editor of the Roda Report on the South African Property Market, Kobus Lamprecht. Now, Kobus has been on the podcast before, but Kobus is back on the podcast and vodcast for the first time. Kobus, welcome back. Good to have you.
Well, fantastic. Yeah, it's great to see you again, Suren. And thank you for the opportunity. I must say, I didn't even know the word vodcast. I was thinking maybe you're going to have vodka and speak. Yeah, it would have been quite fun. But nice to be talking to you again.
Kobus, we met earlier this year in January for the Samara breakfast that's on multi-use or multi-family property, rather. But we'll get to that in a sec. Now, the Roda report, the latest edition that's for the fourth quarter of 2025 just came out in February. I did not have a chance to go into it in detail, but as I mentioned, the property sector, broadly speaking, is on the up. We've covered the listed property sector surge over the last 2 years quite extensively. Yes. But, you kick off the headline, the latest report saying it's on a stronger footing for 2026 or the start of 2026. Can you share some broader insights and highlights from the report?
Yes, of course. And it's correct what you're saying, that the property market is looking in much better shape. The listed property share price growth shows that, because essentially that shows what investors are thinking about the market. But if you look at the different property types, the office property market has recovered last year. We've seen better vacancy rates and some rental growth returning as well. We can maybe touch on that as well separately. And then your industrial property has been as solid as a rock. It's been very resilient. Actually, doesn't really matter what economic growth is doing, the industrial property is just remaining strong. And then on the residential side, we've also seen house prices also recover. It's been a bad number of years for house prices. Yeah, so that on the property types, that's definitely a better story. And some of the drivers of that has been on the GDP growth projections for South Africa has been improving. The economy seems to be a consensus that the country has turned the corner. To some extent, if you look at the grey listing removal, the ratings upgrade, the investments from the private sector into port and rail, and that's showing up also in the rands and in the long bond yields. I don't know if you noticed, but the long bond yield has seen a massive decline since May last year, and that's a very important indicator for the property sector. And also the prime rate has come down from the levels of above 11% that we've seen. It's at 10.25% now. And very importantly is that the shifting of the South African Reserve Bank target of the inflation to 3% has increased expectation of interest rate cuts over the next few years. We actually have a consensus that we calculate from a survey that we sent to economists, and most of the economists now see the prime rate going down to average between 9 and 10% over the next 5 years. So investors are seeing that in the market as well, and that sentiment is picking up. I must say that the risk that I didn't explicitly say in the report, it's a new thing actually, the oil price that's been increasing the last few days to above 70. That is a risk to the outlook for inflation. If that is sustained, we might see higher than expected inflation and then interest rate cuts being delayed. So that's a very important part of the equation that needs to be watched. But for the moment, the market has started the year on a strong footing and it's improving. Further improvement is expected as we go along.
Thanks for that. Yes, the oil price is something to watch. That probably explains the surge in Sasol's share price in the last week or two. Just one of the highlights or a separate section is on the office property market. It has been quite topical considering the double-digit vacancies that peaked around 4 or 5 years ago. It's the sector hasn't really overcome that. There is still double-digit vacancies, I believe. Can you share some insights into the vacancies? Where do they stand suddenly? Where do the vacancies stand currently? And which areas are experiencing the higher vacancies?
Yeah, so I think it's for the listeners very important to just stand back and see where the data, what's happened to the data and where we're coming from. And during COVID 2021, our data showed that the average vacancy rate for decentralized space went up to, it was just under 20% for South Africa. And that average I'm talking about is, it's the average of the newer space, your A-plus grade, A, and then your B grade, average of all of that. So that vacancy rate was about 18% in 2021. It's been gradually coming down. It's just under 12%. That was our finding of our survey data in the fourth quarter of 2025. Now the long-term average is about 9.6%, and that's since 2000. So we're still quite far away from the long-term average level. So there's a lot of room for improvement. If you look at it on a city level, the vacancy rates or worst in Johannesburg. The decentralized nodes there, the average is 13.6%. Places like Randburg still battling. A lot of the Johannesburg nodes, the vacancy rates are sitting between 10 and 20%. That's in contrast to Cape Town, where most of those nodes have averages of less than 10%. In Johannesburg, not everything is, I would say, not all the nodes are in trouble. There's nodes like Waterfall, the vacancy rate is just below 10%. That's, again, A plus, A and B, the average of that. Rosebank also about 10%. So those two nodes, and I would say Sandton is to a certain extent, has also come back a little bit. That's driving some of the, I'd say, the improvement in Johannesburg, but there's still a lot of nodes where vacancy rates are already really badly. And then on the positive side, your Cape Town vacancy rates and Durban are lower than the national average.
What is Sandton sitting at out of interest, and maybe a little bit on Durban as well, because you talk decentralized, but I don't know how much research you do on the city, but I know the city is struggling quite a bit. If you look at the likes of Delta Property Fund, that has quite a big exposure to the Durban CBD.
I can't remember the exact percentage now for Sandton, but I think it's about around about 15%, or even almost 14%, you can say. So there's been massive improvements. I remember we spoke about it even maybe in previous interviews, but Sandton was at 20%. I mean, vacancy rate was above 20% at a time. Sandton. So there's different improvement in Sandton as well. You can see there's more traffic on that side. In KZN, the big driver of the office sector there has been Mhlanga, Lealusha. Now, if you look from a statistic point of view, it's the amount of office space in that node is 60% of the total in Durban. So there's been quite a big improvement, and the vacancy rates there is lower than 10%. The vacancy rates in other nodes like Berea, Westville is higher, and they're struggling a bit more. And Alusha is also on the rental side. You see the same kind of story that's already been driving the rental growth in Durban.
GrowthPoint has hinted that there could be potential development, not just in Cape Town, but they have talked about the coastal cities faring better from an office perspective. Now, talking about from a development side, there's not a lot of office development on the go naturally.
Yes.
Sandton is seeing quite a bit of residential development. The cranes are going to be coming back into the Sandton skyline. But we know how well Cape Town is doing. It's booming. The cranes signify how much is happening, not just in the V&A waterfront, but also in the CBD and City Bowl itself. And you could argue even in broader Western Cape with the development imminently of the Winelands Airport. So that will be in the spotlight. Can you share some insights on what's happening in the development space? Where are the outlier areas that you could see? You can talk about Cape Town naturally, but other areas that could potentially be see some cranes in the sky over the next few years?
Yeah, well, from a developer perspective, you want to see your nominal rentals outgrowing your building cost inflation. Because that will increase your feasibility of your developments, right? So because Cape Town's rentals has been really growing significantly above the building cost inflation, that's where most of the office space construction is currently centered. If you look at the national figure, nationally about 100,000, yeah, just about 100,000 square meters are currently being built, according to Sapoa data. And the long-term average was about 500,000. So your office space under construction is only a fifth of what's usually been built over the long term. If you look at your this data from Stats SA, they also got an office building completed number, which shows a similar statistic. I think last year, the full numbers are not out for the year yet, but I guess it will be about 150,000 square meters that have been completed for offices in 2025. So not a lot of activity happening, a lot in Cape Town. Nationally, of the national figure, about 55% of developments is in Cape Town. And it's centered around the CBD and Black River Office Park, Pinelands, and in Century City. So Century City, I think you know about this one as well, the Century or Canal Plaza development that they are developing, also new offices. So that's where the investors are going. A lot of demand for offices in Cape Town, many of the nodes has got low vacancy rates, as I said. And it's also because of the government that's been doing a good job in terms of service delivery, a lot of investment going into infrastructure. And we can touch maybe on Gauteng and KZN, but their infrastructure is a big issue. So, kudos to the Western Cape government for investing a lot of money into infrastructure, because it's showing now in a lot of the indicators in the property sector.
Well, Cape Town Mayor is under significant pressure with the rates debate there, but he's been quite vocal about investment in infrastructure going forward, particularly on sewage and water infrastructure. It might not be having the water issues of Johannesburg and Durban that's had it previously after the floods, but forward-looking, planning for infrastructure, and Johannesburg is almost in a aha moment, especially with the water crisis at the moment. Despite these crises, there's still development happening, though, maybe not on the office side. You mentioned Waterfall. There's a convention center that's going to be developed Waterfall soon by ATTAC and another partner. But also in KZN, we've covered a couple of developments there as well. Do you want to share some insights of why that's still happening? What kind of demand is there? And granted, some of those developments are more mixed use, a little bit retail and resi as well, and potentially hotels.
Are you referring specifically to Waterfall?
Waterfall, but other insights into other development nodes that has potential or is getting interest despite some of the challenges in the cities like Itakwini and City of Johannesburg.
Well, in Johannesburg, I think about 40% of the office development taking place, it's centered around Waterfall, Rosebank, Sandton. So there is some happening, as you said, residential as well in Sandton. For offices in Durban, there's nothing under construction, according to Sapoa data. Pretoria, it's minimal. So it's Johannesburg and Cape Town is driving the office development activity at this stage. There has been some development on the residential side, especially I would say here in the Southern Cape. There's a lot of development in places like Hartenbos, also by Hartenbos got that Heartland development. There's a new mall that's going to be completed there as well now. What is the name now? I can't remember the mall, but it's also in Hartenbos. Also in George, there's a lot of retail space that opened in George, and newer developments like that. The Nikwa Retail Village that opened a while ago. Even in suburbs like Blanco, there's a new centre being opened. So the Southern Cape has seen increased activity. Even places like KZN, like the Rennie Shore development on the south coast. So there is some pockets of development, but I must say still what's holding back development is the high building costs in South Africa. It did cool a little bit last year, but it's still a lot. If you look at your rental levels versus your building cost, some development simply doesn't make sense. I mean, for offices, if you look at your newer space and your grade B and C, all the unlet space is 2.4 million square meters.
Wow.
That's still that, a lot. That must be mopped up still. So for an office development, it must really make sense to or be financially feasible to really start building.
Now, you mentioned KZN. I saw on your statuses that you were on holiday, and I have to ask, I thought I'd tease you about it because people think everybody holidays in Cape Town, but Cape Town's very expensive. You were on holiday on the South Coast. What did you see? Is there potential for investment? I know they also had some structural issues around water and that sort of thing.
Yes.
But we've reported on this in the past where the South Coast has been somewhat overshadowed, and you went on holiday on the South Coast, not the North Coast. But talking about the North Coast, you know, I know you don't necessarily cover hotels, but there is quite a lot of interest considering the Club Med at Tinley is going to open later this year. And there's also quite a lot of development interest in the middle of the N3 between Maritzburg and Durban with the new the West Town development that's happening.
Yeah, so I must say I was one of those people that's always holidaying in the Western Cape, but Hartmoors or George or the West Coast or some of those places, the places like Strathspey. But I just had to, you know, find out what's happening in KZN. And I think I was, you know, the amount of Western Cape cars I saw there, there wasn't many. So it was, I must say I was pleasantly surprised by what I've seen in the South Coast, especially the main roads were quite in good conditions to drive.
Mm.
Obviously, if you get into the suburbs, there's some potholes in there, but generally the main roads were in good conditions. And Tidy Towns has been doing a great job in cleaning up the beaches and some of the surrounding areas. I mean, you remember that floods in December on the South Coast? The next day in Margate, I was there. If the entrance into Margate, where all the paving goes next to those palm trees, the water just damaged that. And the next day, Tidy Towns was there with a group of people, and they fixed the paving and they cleaned up. So that was very impressive to see. Also, what caught my eye as well was the entrance to the towns were very nice with, you know, like Trafalgar had a painting and a nice sign, Trafalgar. You know, it feels nice to drive in. You know, it's going to be like a holiday. So it's. I mean, the South Coast does get a lot of bad rap, but I think it's good for people to go there themselves and find out. And, I mean, I was very surprised. I'll definitely go again. Maybe try the North Coast as well, as you said, to see exactly what's happening there. But overall, KZN, I must say the government of provincial unity has brought a sense of stability to the province. The province is still lacking on a lot of service delivery issues. I mean, the South Coast house prices are very low. The apartments, I was shocked at some of the apartment prices there. I think the big issue there is water. So if you want to buy a property, you sort of factor that in, that you have to probably have your own water and your solar power as well. So there's a lot of work needed on the water side. And it's not only KZN. I mean, it's a hot topic now everywhere, the water issues in South Africa. So I think the government also even has a crisis room to handle that now. So that has a problem and it needs to be fixed. And I mean, we need that for the property prices really to pick up.
Talking about property prices now, you also focus on the residential property market and price growth.
Yes.
How is that sector doing at the moment? It's not necessarily shooting out the lights, excluding the Western Cape, of course. But, you know, the interest rates have dropped quite a bit, and it's going to be structurally low considering that inflation target that you mentioned. Can you share some insights on the residential side?
Yeah. Look, the house prices nationally had a tough few years. And last year, the F&B index, the growth was just under 4%. That means it was higher than the inflation rate. So inflation, I don't know, I don't want to quote a lot of stats. But the inflation was, the average was 3.2% last year. So there's been real growth in house prices, and that is encouraging to see. The question is now, will it continue? Look, inflation, the consensus is that it's going to be 3 to 4%. So house prices, if we can just stay that level or kick a bit little high, it will be a growth in real terms. But the Western Cape is driving the growth, as you said. Gauteng, the price growth is still low. Other places as well. You need some of these other areas to also to pick up, like Gauteng. So I mean, there's a lot of bargains you can get in Gauteng for houses. You know, if you the same house in Gauteng and the same house in Cape Town, difference in price, it's quite amazing. So yeah, a lot of room for improvements still on house prices, but we're seeing some better mortgage activity coming through, which is boosting the market. And the prime rate, as I said, is expected to decline more over the next few years, so it should help the market. Do you want me to touch on apartments as well?
No, not really, but this immigration trends, obviously there's been a huge amount of immigration, but obviously also the upper level, so that demand is there. Johannesburg will always be in demand for people moving because it is still the economic hub. Can you share some insights on that? Because there have been a few reports where people say, you know, prices are good in Johannesburg despite the service delivery issues, and there might be reverse immigration.
Yeah, there is some people are definitely returning to Johannesburg. That's true. I've also spoken to people here in the Western Cape, and then that said, they're going back. But there's some people going back and some staying. It depends on what. Yeah, I think it's important to look at what industry. For example, I remember when the solar boom was here, there was a lot of people moving from Gauteng that did solar power here, or with all the building activity in the Western Cape, a lot of builders that came. But then it's almost like there's too many solar providers, and then that market went down a little bit with the prices of solar went down, and construction as well. Some of those people then moved back to Gauteng, so there is some of that happening. But I still spoke to some estate agents here close to George, and they're saying they're seeing a renewed activity this year, even from people from overseas, South Africans returning from Australia, other places in Europe, and also foreigners moving to the Southern Cape. So there is some. A general positiveness, I would say, about the housing market, even despite the high prices in the Western Cape. So there is, still positive movements on migration to the Western Cape. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of data available to see exactly how many people's moving, how many people's well, moving to the Western Cape or vice versa to Gauteng. But I would say if you look at the migration, immigration levels, what it was during COVID with the work from home, it's definitely lower than that now, because it's also the people. I know people that's moved to the Western Cape and had to move back to Gauteng. Several people that's had to back move back to the office or resign. So that has, of course, boosted the office market in Johannesburg. Yeah.
Well, the Western Cape will always be in demand also because it's South Africa's leading tourism destination, Cape Town in particular. But the foreign interest will be in, you're just looking at the amount of tourists that come and realize, even though it might be expensive for us, for them with dollars and pounds, it is
Yes, of course.
still something that they would look at. But and that's despite the rand strengthening, so we might have more profitability in a way for South African real estate in the Western Cape. Kobus, I know we're a little bit longer than anticipated, but you, as I mentioned, you were the keynote address speaker at the Samara conference. That's the multifamily association that's been established. You talked about residential. This is kind of commercial residential, one could say. Can you share some insights on that? Is that the next big thing in the listed property space, or perhaps the investment space, with the amount of investment happening, particularly from the likes of AfriCrest and other players, particularly in Johannesburg? But you find some of those players, even Atterbury and their joint venture partners, I forget the name now, but they're developing Barlow Park, investing in Cape Town. Can you share some insights on that? Because it's quite topical, and the likes of SA Corporate is playing in that space.
Yeah, I think it's important for listeners to understand what exactly we're talking about. Because if you mention Samra or multifamily, people are a bit, do not sort of look you a bit funny, look at you a bit funny. So multifamily housing is big investors that's buying a property, other complexes or estates, and then renting that out. So they're building it to rent. It's some myself. We can't buy in those estates, and they manage that whole property, and that's what Samra's got about more than 10 members. And They've got about over 60,000 apartments already that forms part of their membership. And we track that data and we report on the vacancy rates and the rental levels. And the key thing is that this big institutional investor that owns this buildings, they manage it on their own. It's easier for them to market. They've got a lot of amenities that they provide. I mean, you saw yourself there that Africa's development at Oaklyn near Rosebank. They've got a cinema room there. They got free Wi-Fi. There's a swimming pool. Some of them like houses development there in Waterfall. There's paddle pools. So they have all of these things to attract and retain tenants. And the vacancy rate of the Samra apartment blocks is about 5% in South Africa. It stayed very stable. It's lower than your vacancy rate of other apartments. When I'm talking about other apartments, I'm talking where someone has one or three apartments that they own. Because then in those type of complexes, it's more difficult to then manage. But because you have a big institutional investor in managing the property, they can market better and maintain property a lot better and then have the lower vacancy rate. So to answer your question, do I think it's the next big thing? Very good question. I do see a lot of interest in the sector, and it's still very small in South Africa, and there's definitely a lot of interest if you look at the finances involved here, like BIC, Sanlam. But for readers as well, it's big companies. They've got 5,000 to 10,000 apartments that they own, some of them. So it's definitely a sector that's going to get attention, and it's a very important sector because there's a big housing shortage in South Africa, and these Samra members are building and owning these properties, and it's very good properties. If I actually want to tour more of them in South Africa to see the differences. But yeah, and I think with the rent as well, they can make it more affordable in some cases as well. But it's also luxury Samra apartments as well. So it is a good mix of apartments. And if you rent there, you get all of these extra things that's really beneficial to you. And also, like the Africa's developments, they try and be close to where people are working. So, you know, trying to help people to not sit long in traffic. So, yeah, definitely a sector that's on the up. And I would say one of the important aspects is that there's now a lot more data available on multifamily housing in South Africa. And we track that in the RERA report every quarter. And that's important for investors to see how's the vacancy rates looking, what's happening to rentals, to sort of get a picture. Is the sector growing? What's happening? Is there more investment? And that transparency is important.
I know you have a partnership with the association from a research perspective, but do you see more people joining? Because it's almost like student accommodation. It was happening as far as 15, 20 years ago, but a lot of them were independent players. Now you have the likes of GrowthPoint and others that even have a student accommodation fund. What does it take to convince these other private developers, maybe not on the scale of AfriCrest, but you do have quite a few private developers that might have the stock and are doing the very same thing, but they're not part of Samra and, it's a much bigger sector from what I understand. Even at the SA REIT conference last week, it was mentioned that in America, it's actually not offices that's the biggest sector, it's multifamily.
Yes, that is amazing. If you want to become a member, you obviously have to have the multifamily criteria to be part of that. And as I said, it's big institutional investors. And they own a lot of apartments, and it's built to rent apartments. So that's the main criteria. But I do think, it's worthwhile for developers or property owners to look at Samra. And but I expect the sample size of that survey will increase a lot. I mean, we already surveyed 60,000 apartments in the fourth quarter, which is quite substantial. But hopefully, we can have that above 100,000 in a year or two, and even have more coverage for the residential sector.
So that's one to watch. Kobus, we'll have to leave it there. I appreciate your time on the podcast. That was Kobus Mankbrek, the property economist at RERA and editor of the RERA Report.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories.